on Jay Sekulow Live, teachers unions and politicians demand that states restrict learning opportunities for our students.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, folks, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And as you know, we have launched a brand new legal initiative across the country representing parents, as we said yesterday, for free. And we're able to say that because we're a nonprofit organization supported by your tax-deductible donations. So we can go out to the country with all these school closings, with schools that are open, you know, 1 or 2 days a week, with special needs students who need special programming, with students in tough financial situations. There's an example even out of Oregon. I mean, get how, and this is just to me so absurd, almost to the point of evil, that the governor of Oregon, who's of course a Democrat, Governor Kate Brown, issued an order that they're closing schools. So she closed all of the charter schools as well. But in the order to close all of the charter schools for in-person class, you know what they added? That those charter schools also had to close all virtual learning. So if you were a student at a charter school in Oregon and you knew that your school was not going to be open in person, your virtual learning has been taken away. So I will tell you, and a new blog is posting at aclj.org, that is just one of the extreme issues we are looking at getting legally involved in right away at the American Center for Law and Justice. As of, and I was back on Fox News last night, as of about Friday morning, as we get the numbers coming in about the contacts, if people need, if you think you need our help, by the way, and you're going to face significant hardship because of your school closings, because whether it's financial, the fact that you may be in a single parent or a working parent or two working parents and don't have the money to afford childcare, don't have transportation to go pick up the materials or pick up the food that's provided for your child since the school buses won't be running in many places. If you need assistance because they're saying, hey, we'll do virtual learning, what about the equipment? Here's an iPad. Well, what if I don't have the right electricity? What if I don't have the right internet access? What if I don't can't afford that? Shouldn't the school district, in a sense, have to utilize the billions of dollars that are available to school districts across the country and be able to utilize that in a form of almost like a voucher for during this time of pandemic, even in states that don't have voucher programs right now as it stands? And this was really as of about Friday morning is when this first cutoff was done. We had already heard from hundreds of individual parents, so over 300 individual parents in 22 different states. Guys, can we put that graphic up? Fox News did this for us yesterday on Steve Hilton's The Next Revolution last night. That is how many states we have heard from, and that was really just from a Fox News appearance on last Sunday and talking about this really on Friday's radio broadcast. And by the way, those numbers have not yet been updated from Friday's radio broadcast. So we're talking about significant issues here, and we have formulated a plan. And you can see that plan now at aclj.org. But we're going to walk through it today as well as take your questions and phone calls. So if you think you're in this situation, give us a call. We can answer a lot for you right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember as well, July is a matching challenge month. What does that mean? Whatever you can donate to the ACLJ, we've got a group of donors who will match all of those incoming donations. Now, for them to match the donations, you've got to make the donation. So a $20 donation, that's effectively like $40 for the ACLJ. $10 becomes $20. But you're only charged 10. Go to aclj.org if you're financially able to right now and donate online. It's how we can represent all these families across the country at no cost.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson, director of ACLJ's legal policy, is joining us now. He was the primary author as we came together after I was on Steve Hilton's broadcast last week on The Next Revolution on Fox News, and we gave out that aclj.org/help. That's where you go if you feel like you're a parent or a guardian of a child who is going to face significant hardship because of these pandemic school closings or virtual school that you don't have the resources to cover, whether it's childcare, whether it's the food program, whether it's a special needs student, transportation, of course, because of bus systems. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. And we've put this together for you at aclj.org, but I wanted to bring Harry on to discuss this because we really had a big brainstorming session at the ACLJ with a group of a lot of different attorneys coming together with ideas about how to address this for the various individuals who are contacting us. And right now that's in the hundreds, and I'm sure that number will continue to grow as more school districts and more states announce what their decisions will be. And so, folks, I encourage you to go to aclj.org and do two things. One, share Harry's blog. So even if you don't need this help, maybe you don't have a child in school, K-12 public school right now, that you know people who do. So share it on your social media, share it in your email. And remember our school choice initiative petition at aclj.org. This is part of that. Because as Harry will explain too, one of the issues we're looking at is whether or not the schools are going to have to take the funding they already receive, get creative with it, and almost use it like a voucher, like school choice, to the parents so that they can figure out if they're going to join some kind of homeschooling group or do the schooling at home, if they need to bring in childcare at home or somewhere else that is available. So all of these different options at aclj.org, but I encourage you, if you're saying, hey, I'm not a parent, And so I don't have a case necessarily here. I don't need to be represented here. I don't have a child in K through 12 public school. You can still take action here by sharing the blog so others, your friends and family, know that they can get assistance at absolutely no cost from the ACLJ, the same attorneys who represent the President of the United States before the impeachment trial and before the United States Supreme Court. They can get that same assistance if they go to aclj.org/help. So share that blog, and I encourage you to sign the petition online, the School Choice Initiative. That's something you can do grassroots, and we're going to talk about it with Than in a minute, what's happening at the federal level to try and get more flexible, to try and get more state and local focused with the billions of federal dollars that are available to school districts and states across the country. But first, let me bring in Harry Hutchinson to the discussion. Harry, you put together this blog. We've heard from hundreds of people in 22 states. That was just as of Friday morning. It goes everywhere from Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. Interestingly, the states we've received this some significant amount of requests from, not so surprising, California, but Georgia as well. New York, not so surprising, because even though they announced a plan for 100,000 of their students to try and help them, they've got 1.1 million students just in New York City. So 100,000 is not going to do the job, though it's at least a start. And Virginia as well. But Harry, we've put together really action items and explained to people why we are launching this new legal initiative to represent people, whether it's before the school boards and ultimately, like that situation in Oregon with charter schools, whether it's before courts.
Well, Jordan, increasingly, we live in a world that relies more and more on foregone conclusions rather than testable hypotheses. Among the foregone conclusions offered by progressive politicians and leaders of teachers' unions is that the Board of Education, which fears homeschooling and other choice options, those boards know what is best for kids rather than parents. There's no evidence that this foregone conclusion is true. And there's plenty of evidence from public schooling itself to labor law or other progressive policies that progressive policies standing alone disadvantage minority communities. And lastly, let me point out there's evidence that local school boards do not know what to do in a time of the pandemic. And so what we really need to see is we need robust virtual learning options. And instead of providing robust options, we have, for instance, in the state of Oregon, a decision by the governor via the Board of Education to shut down virtual public charter schools in order to protect unions. So, Jordan, we have launched an initiative to deal with what might be called an astonishing failure of leadership. This failure of leadership amounts to a willful act of deprivation of education for those who are most in need. And so we have a list of action items available for parents. And we stand ready, if necessary, to litigate on their behalf.
Folks, again, that is up at aclj.org right now. That's at aclj.org, and it says the ACLJ prepares to take action to advance justice and prevent widespread educational failures during the pandemic. I'm going to walk through the action items we're going to be taking on behalf of the individuals that we end up representing as clients. Remember, if you feel like you're in this situation, go to aclj.org/help, fill out that online form. Our services are absolutely free. And again, as a reminder, you need to be a parent of a child in a K through 12 public school or guardian, the legal guardian responsible for that child in a K-12 public school, and then utilize that ACLJ.org/help form. Now, of course, you can use that for other legal matters you have questions about as well, but for this matter specifically, ACLJ.org/help. Than, before I get into what we're going to be doing, you know, step by step, I wanted you to kind of go back through, because there is action, and I talked about this last night on Fox News, because I didn't want to make it, it's not all about the legal efforts in the state, so that's who primarily has responsibility for education. Our U.S. Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Equal Protection, says that, you know, when a state offers something to the public, it has to be equal for everyone. So in a sense, there is now, because of public schooling in every state, there is, not just in a sense, there is a constitutional right to a K-12, in some places a pre-K-12 education at no cost. You know, of course, taxpayers fund it for every student in every state because of the 14th Amendment and equal protection. But then we also have the Department of Education, which provides billions of dollars a year, some discretionary, some specific to K-12 programs. Tell people about that and the reforms that we're hoping to see.
Yeah, school boards obviously are the primary decision makers when it comes to how dollars are allocated. But Jordan, as you note, those dollars come from different sources. Yes, some of them come from local taxes. A lot of them come from state taxes. But then a good portion of them also come from federal taxes. Jordan, out of the $620 billion of public spending that is spent on K-12 education, about $68 billion comes from the federal government. And I won't get into all of the subcategories here, but the one that we're primarily focusing on for now, Jordan, is $23 billion that comes through Title I. Most people are going to know this as dollars that used to be called No Child Left Behind. There's been different names for it all along. But the underlying statute, Jordan, is the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, or ESEA. Basically, those federal dollars come down to a local jurisdiction with a lot of federal strings attached. And here's what we're saying, Jordan. The way that those dollars were spent pre-pandemic probably is not the way they should be spent post-pandemic. So we would like the federal government to give the local jurisdictions a lot more flexibility on how they allocate those dollars during this pandemic period. We can get into some of the specifics, but there's legislation out there. It's called the A-Plus Act that would accomplish this. Jordan, it's just one of a myriad of ways that we've got to tailor education during this time. And the federal government might be tempted to say, look, this is just a local issue. We're going to leave it to them. Not true, Jordan. $68 billion comes from the federal government. They ought to be doing everything they can to tailor make those dollars for this pandemic period.
Folks, there is legislation. We'll talk about that as well. And we're going to get to your these action items. What is the ACLJ going to be doing for these individuals we represent? You may be one of them, and you still have time to be one. ACLJ.org/help. Remember, we can do this work because of your financial support to the ACLJ. Donate online at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are talking about how the ACLJ, and you know, we are preparing to take action, both a representation of individual families, parents of children, legal guardians of children in K-12 public schools facing, you know, all sorts of different issues because of the pandemic. I mean, you could keep going through the list of from everything from full closures to virtual learning, but how's that going to work? To who's going to be at home to take care of the kids if you're a single parent that works or two parent working home? Transportation. Oh, the school says, oh, we'll still provide you food. You come pick it up. What if you rely on public transportation and you're on your way to work? If public transportation, by the way, is even running in your city or state, how does your child get that? Child care issues. I mean, the list goes on and on. And of course, there's the special needs issues as well. Now, I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson, and we'll go back to Thantu on the federal side. But Harry, there's kind of steps that we're looking at taking here. And the steps we lay out in the blog that's just been posted, and we encourage people to share at aclj.org. It's called The ACLJ Prepares to Take Action to Advance Justice and Prevent Widespread Education Failures During the pandemic. And I look at step one, Harry, and it's that ACLJ attorneys are going to be sending individual demand letters that we're preparing now to school districts on behalf of our clients, demanding that they provide accommodations, and I think it's important, and aid. You know, I actually bolded the word aid to eliminate deficiencies that continue during the pandemic. So tell people about that first step.
Well, Jordan, you are precisely correct. In the United States, equality education should not be a privilege reserved for some, but a right guaranteed for all. And so states essentially have the obligation of ensuring that public schools are able to teach the basic literacy, calculating, and verbal skills necessary to enable children to eventually function productively as civic participants capable of voting or serving on juries. So at the ACLJ, we are prepared to first encourage local school boards to think out of the box in order to ensure that they meet their obligation, in order to ensure that there is indeed educational equality of opportunity under the law. And so if they're unwilling to do so, however, then we are prepared to take legal action on behalf of appropriate parents and children.
You know, folks, again, we start out with those demand letters to schools, and we'll be happy to appear before school boards. In fact, I remember as a young kid, my dad used to appear before school boards all across the country on religious liberty issues. Now, it's a different issue, but we're ready to send the attorneys out. Now, some of those are going to be done virtually right now because, like how he did his most recent Supreme Court case, my dad did it by phone. It was like a conference call with the Supreme Court justices asking questions. So, and it might be like a Zoom situation where you're video conferencing with the school board. So we're ready to do that along with the demand letters. And then those who are allowing appearances in person will do that. And then, you know, as Harry said, the second option is that if there's not a satisfactory response, we're going to look at what legal avenues, because based on each individual situation, you know, why are we there for the school board for that person or group of people that are in a kind of similar situation? What do we need to do to legally to achieve justice and eliminate the existing education deficiencies? I want to go right to the phones, because this is a great call coming in. We got a lot of great calls and questions coming in. If you want to talk to us on air and you've got a question about whether or not the assistance would be right for you, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Kelly is calling from Georgia on line one. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. My issue is our school, Henry County, Georgia, they gave us the right to choose either online or on campus. Before that choice ended, which was this past Friday, they took away the choice. Our Henry County Board of Education took away that choice, and they said everybody is going back virtually. I have three children in the county system. My 16-year-old child is blind. She did not receive any of her services from her teacher for the visually impaired. None of her work was adapted when all the schools shut down this past spring. She is not mentally slow in any way. I expect my child to go to college. But if her work is not adapted for her to be able to learn, she cannot do the work. I am being forced right now, with them going back only virtually, to put my child in a residential academy for the blind that only promotes trade jobs. They do not promote education so that my child can get an education. I need some help.
We're here to help you, Kelly. In fact, on our blog at aclj.org, we talk about this, Harry, right away. So, Kelly, what I want you to do right after you hear our response is go to aclj.org/help. Put that exactly what you just said about your child and their situation, especially your child who is blind and the education situation they're in, and that you talk to us live on radio. So put that in on the aclj.org contact page, Kelly. But Harry, we're specifically addressing this as well because there are school districts failing to provide the education assistance required by a federal law, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
Absolutely. So it is very possible to A, get into court, and B, to challenge, and C, to do it successfully, the failure of local school boards to adequately and robustly accommodate students who may suffer from a disability. And so here you have a clear and unmistakable case of the failure of the local board of education and perhaps the state board of education to take into account the special needs of this particular student and his or her family. And so I think it is clear beyond question that this needs to be challenged. We need to incentivize local school boards to step up to the plate and to provide an adequate education to every single student.
All right, folks, again, I encourage you to go to aclj.org/help. If you're in a situation like Kayla's was just in, I mean, again, they're specific, and we talk about it on the blog, so share this blog, because even if you're not in this situation, there's going to be friends and family that are. So share it. It's right on the front of the ACLJ homepage. On all your social media, send it out on your email list. And Than, let's get back to some of the federal issues as well quickly. I know we're running short on this one, but there's also something called the A-Plus Act. Tell people who's sponsoring that and what it would do.
Yeah, the sponsor in the United States Senate, Jordan, is Senator Steve Daines. In the House, it's Congressman Mark Walker. And look, I think it's directly relevant to Kelly's call because a state has a mandate to have a strategy for students like Kelly's son. And if a state has a strategy to provide assistance to that, they ought to be able to use federal dollars to accomplish that strategy. It's not what happens right now, Jordan. The dollars come from the federal government, and then the state has to accomplish the federal objectives, not the state objectives. So I would say to Kelly, we're here to make sure the school board does their job, but we also want to help that school board, Jordan. We want to say to that school board, you ought to be able to take the federal dollars and use it to accomplish the strategy that you have to provide an education to Kelly's son. So it's got to work together, Jordan.
Folks, since last Friday, where we were about at 300, we have an additional 380 or so odd requests that have now come in. So we're up to almost 700 families looking for this assistance. We can do it for free because of your financial support. ACLJ.org to donate online.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, folks, the ACLJ, if you're just joining us, preparing to take action to advance justice and prevent widespread education failures during the pandemic. We've got a blog up now, just posted this morning at aclj.org, on how we're going to do that, individually representing families. So families with children K through 12 who find themselves in these situations where there's school closures or limited school, or it's going to be virtual, and all the issues surrounding that. Students with disabilities, like a caller just called in before, there's laws protecting there. In Oregon, something particular I want to talk about with Harry in just a minute, that was just absurd what the governor did there. So there are options to go before school boards. There are legal options, you know, lawsuits. We provide all of these services absolutely free. If you feel like you're in this situation, that because of the decision that has been made or the lack of decision, you know, some of these school districts who have just been dragging their feet and not telling parents what is going to go on, and it's going to present you with a significant hardship, you need to go to aclj.org/help right now, fill out that contact form, and then you will be contacted by an ACLJ attorney. Remember, we do all this representation at no cost. It's absolutely free. Now, the reason we can do this absolutely free for all of these individuals, and by the way, as of Friday morning, when our system kind of repopulates all of the contacts that come in through ACLJ.org and we go through them and see which ones are specific to this issue, because we get contacts about a lot of other legal issues that we work on as well. As of a Friday morning, we kind of cut it off for the broadcast so we know about how many had come in. That was before we talked about it on radio, and all I had done was the interview last Sunday with Steve Hilton on The Next Revolution on Fox News on Sunday, the past Sunday evening. And we had over 300 individual parents of children contact us, over 300. And that's not all the ACLJ contacts that come in for legal assistance that we work on, just on this issue. Now, I just got the report from one of our attorneys, Miles Terry, because the system repopulated again this morning, and the attorneys were able to start going through it this morning to see, out of all the contacts that came through from Friday when we started talking about it for the first time on our radio broadcast, and I was back on Fox News last night with Steve Hilton with the update about now how we're going to proceed and how many states, the 22 states we've heard from now, I'm sure that's more. And at that point, it was over 300. Well, now we know there's about an additional, and we're going through this number right now, but at least an additional since Friday, 380 more families have contacted us for legal assistance. That means we're at about 700. Which I predicted we'd be somewhere close to 1,000 by today. And I think by the time we get all these numbers coming together and people listen to this broadcast, that's where we'll be. Folks, those are individuals with students who are getting individual legal attention from the American Center for Law and Justice legal team. Now, we're able to do this absolutely free for these families because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, if you think you're one of these families that needs this help, you go to aclj.org/help. But if you're in a situation where you could support the work of the ACLJ, just think about the fact that we might have 700 new clients in less than a week. Okay, that's going to take significant resources at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're happy to do it. That's why we exist. But to be able to do this work at no cost to our clients, we rely on you. Those who donate to the American Center for Law and Justice. And this is a great month to do it because July is a matching challenge month. What does that mean? It means that whatever you donate, we have a group of donors that say we'll match every donation that comes through in the month of July. So donate today $40, and that's like $80 for the ACLJ. $50 is like $100. $20 is like $40. $5 is like $10. It all matters. It's how we can represent all these families for free. It's how we sued California over the church singing ban at no cost to the churches. Donate online in our matching challenge month of July at aclj.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So online at aclj.org, you will get all the information, too, that we're talking about today as we answer people's questions about how we are going to proceed with now the over 780 individual families who have contacted us about this school issue, which is rapidly approaching, and how we are going to represent them. Of course, we do that at no cost, but the strategies that we are starting to implement as of this week, as we're preparing the demand letters to school districts and preparing to go before school districts. And some of that will be done virtually. Some may be done in person. Prepare to go to court when necessary. Prepare our government affairs efforts as well. I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, because it talks about something that we also is I heard about this yesterday on when I was on with Steve Hilton, the guest who followed me from Cato that focuses a lot on school choice, and he works for Reason Magazine, talked about how I mentioned Oregon. He mentioned also the situation in California and Pennsylvania with charter schools. I immediately notified our team to check this out. Layla's calling in about that in California on line 4. Layla, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Layla.
Here it is. As a matter of fact, I live in Riverside, California, Marietta. So one of the highest taxes for the schools. As a matter of fact, I tried to get my son transferred from his current school here in Marietta. And I called the charter school, and the charter school told me, well, we can only put him on a wait list. And I asked why, and it's because they're not being funded. They don't want to fund the charter schools.
Right.
And this school has 3 days on site. And my son, I feel bad for the lady who does have a child with special needs. But what about mental needs? Being with his friends, and
sure.
I can see the depression in his face. And I'm not just, I'm an overprivileged or whatever, but I really worry about my kid's mental, because he wants to be with his friends. He wants to do even for 3 days. And the fact that I pay so much taxes for him to go, and this is why I moved right here, for him to go to good schools. But now I don't even have the option, and I didn't like the way he finished his last year. He barely did anything, because whatever right. he had scored or whatever, that was it. He didn't have to do anything more. So,
well, Layla, let me say this so that when you, because I want to make it clear, when you called the charter school, they said you have to put you on a wait list. It was the reason they have a wait list is because they're not receiving their funding.
Yeah, correct. They're not getting funded.
Let me
and go. They don't even know if they will get any
yeah.
funds.
Let me go to Harry Hutchison. Layla, first of all, you need to go to aclj.org/help. Because in our blog and our action items that we're going to be taking, we address this specifically, and I just mentioned that we know about it in Oregon, and we're hearing about it in California and Pennsylvania. They're all kind of uniquely how they're doing it. In Oregon, Harry, let's first talk about what happened in Oregon, Harry. This was, to me, almost evil, what Governor Brown did to charter schools.
I think you're right. I think her move was very, very vindictive. Teachers unions fear competition. They fear school choice. They fear homeschooling. And they fear charter schools. So in Oregon, Governor Brown has effectively shut down online charter education, issuing an order that closed all public charter schools as defined in Oregon Statute 338.005(2). What the Oregon governor did is absolutely outrageous, because online learning opportunities actually ensure proper social distancing during a pandemic. But I think at the end of the day, governors in Oregon and California, they care more about what teachers' unions are pushing rather than actually educating the kids. And so they are willing to use children as pawns. They are willing to deprive children of education so long as it advances politicians' political agenda. And so I think at the end of the day, this must end, this must stop, and this needs to be challenged.
So again, I encourage you to go to aclj.org/help, because we're seeing this absurd action in Oregon where they've said the charter school can't even virtually operate. That is, again, folks, you know what's sickening here to me? As we've said time and time again, politicians, teachers' unions, and bureaucrats and administrators are putting themselves and politics in front of children. They're making decisions based on what's best for their politics. They think, I can't imagine shutting a bunch of kids' schools down, but maybe they think shutting down those charter schools, well, that they need those teachers' unions endorsements, and those teachers' unions don't like those charter schools, so we'll just shut them down. But not only are we going to shut them down in person, we won't even allow them to operate virtually. And in Oregon, they're not asking for more money to do that. They're just being told, no, you can't. So where do those kids go? And we have got to stop this in the United States of America, Than. I mean, I want to go to the federal side of this too, because this idea that we put teachers' unions and politicians first instead of kids is always, it is absurd, but it's always what we're fighting against.
Well, and the question to California and Oregon and the other states like that, Jordan, has to be, what are you going to do? It is not enough for them to say what they will not allow, what they're going to shut down, what will be prohibited. Jordan, they have an obligation, they have a responsibility, they have a mandate as the entity responsible for those tax dollars to say what the path forward is. How are they going to provide access to education? And Jordan, the thing here is these tax dollars continue to flow, local, state, and federal. They all continue to flow. That is why even before this pandemic, Jordan, we were in favor of school choice. We were in favor of school vouchers. We think that more dollars, whether they're derived on the local level, the state level, or the federal level, should follow the student. So as it would apply to Layla's call, Jordan, more of those tax dollars would be available for Layla to decide what best meets the needs for her student. But look, that's even more true now when you're in a pandemic, when some of the traditional options are off the table. Jordan, the tax dollars are continuing to flow. What does not stop is the state of California's obligation to use those tax dollars to say what they can do for Layla. What we're seeing from most of these states, Jordan, is what they won't do or what they say they can't do. Okay, that's fine. What will you do? What are you going to do to provide for Layla's son? That's the question that we're asking.
We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And with Harry, continue to walk through the steps we are taking. Let me go to Mike's call from Oregon on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, my question is this, right here. I have an 18-year-old autistic son who's low-function nonverbal. He needs to have sensory and life skills to be able to function in society. And when the school closed down last year, they just point-blank told me, there's nothing we can do. Sorry. And then I also have a 9-year-old daughter, and my concern is this. I'm a single father, and I'm very avid on education because that's sure. the key to getting out of poverty.
Right.
And I honestly believe that she's getting further and further behind. Now, when this mentally gets her and she's a year or two behind because of all this, are they liable for the stress and the anguish it puts on my daughter and the lack of education that it will ruin her future?
Well, I think, you know, there's two issues there, Mike. And Harry, the first issue for his child with special needs, that again falls right under, I mean, Mike, go to aclj.org/help. Put the information in, like I told the other caller, that you talk to us on the air, aclj.org/help, about your both of your students. Because, Harry, there is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The school cannot just say, sorry, we can't do anything for your special needs child.
I think that is correct. And I think if the school districts are left unchallenged and left to their own devices, they will actually put many of these kids behind in violation of both federal law and, I would argue, in violation of both state and federal constitutional provisions. So most states have obligated themselves to ensure the availability of a sound basic education to all children. And so what are they actually doing in cases where students suffer from a disability? If they're not doing anything, then the state is failing its own state constitutional provisions, and it's arguably failing the federal constitution and certainly federal law under the IDEA Act, which protects disabled children.
Folks, we come back. We will continue to answer your questions, your comments, and continue to explain exactly what the steps, the various different steps we're going to be taking on behalf of these clients, now approaching about 700. If you feel like you're in this situation as a parent, contact us, aclj.org/help. Remember, we can represent, now it's over 700 individuals at absolutely no cost. We don't ever charge our clients because of donors. So if you need the assistance legally, go to aclj.org/help. If you can support the work of the ACLJ so that we can continue to do all this work and even continue to do this broadcast this way, donate online. It's a matching challenge month. Donate today. Support this work, aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. I want to go right to them. We've got our new blog up at aclj.org and our new update. Now, we know it. Let's put it on the screen. We knew as of Friday that we had been contacted by individuals, over 300 families with kids in K through 12 public schools facing significant hardships because of COVID and the closures of schools, the virtual learning and all the issues, the food programming that comes with it. So that's the 22 states. That was as of Friday morning. I just got the report while we were on the air. So we were at about just a little over 300 or so of those that came in through Friday. And that was before we had talked about it on radio last week. It was really only because I was on Fox News last Sunday with Steve Hilton on The Next Revolution. So we talked about it on last week's show on Friday, and we told people they could go to aclj.org/help if they believed they were in that situation. They had students, or they're either the parents or the legal guardians responsible for the students in K through 12 public schools that are being closed or that are not opening. They need this. They're facing some hardship, to go to aclj.org/help. Well, then now we know the update since Friday when we started talking about it, and I was on again as well with Steve Hilton on Fox News last night, which you can watch that whole interview. It's posted on our social media accounts, my Facebook page, Twitter. It's on The Next Revolution. It's on foxnews.com as well. We now have an additional almost 400 that have come in, parents of children or legal guardians of children who believe they need assistance because they're facing significant hardship. That means we're at probably over 700 right now. And we're going through them. You know, these ACLJ contacts at aclj.org/help, when they come through, you know, it comes through the individual and what, you know, what their need is. And that's not like all the legal requests we got. These are just the requests that we're getting on this specific issue with schools. We get thousands of legal requests on issues that we work on and that we're currently working on. So don't feel like this is the only issue you can contact the ACLJ for help on. And by the way, when we do help you, it's always free. But this has just been really just unbelievable, the need that exists throughout the country. And as I prepare to go to the phones, I want to point out, Harry, just quickly, because I want to get to the phone calls, that we're also looking, because there's a 2016 New York case, this is in your blog at aclj.org, that said that the states can be sued for not having appropriate state finance systems that ensure it fulfills constitutional requirements. We talked about the 14th Amendment and equal protection of providing basic education of children, and that this may involve a lawsuit tied to necessity of even vouchers to make education equal again for all students, regardless of their family's economic circumstances. So talk to people about that briefly before we get to the calls.
Well, you make a very, very valid point, Jordan. I think it is clear beyond question, as the case that you indicated suggests, that states have obligated themselves constitutionally to ensure the availability of a sound basic education for all of its children. And so this requires states and school districts to take effective steps to enable the education of all children, to mitigate educational deficiencies and gaps that prevent many school-aged children from being properly and educated. But many bureaucrats, particularly at the local level, they are inclined not to comply with their own state's requirements, in part because they're lazy, but also in part because many of them are co-opted by teachers' unions. And that's why we need the hammer, at least potentially, of litigation to provide them with an incentive to comply with their obligations, which already exist.
Let me go. I'm going to go to the calls. Be as quick as possible, folks. Most of you I know that are calling right now are going to need to contact us at aclj.org/help. But I want you to be able to ask your question. April in Pennsylvania on line 3. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, George. Thank you for all you guys do. I'm calling because my daughter is 16 years old, going to be a junior this year. Last year, our school district was cut off after spring break.
Yeah.
And the governor did it quickly, and they weren't prepared. And we live in a rural community where the internet service is scatty, so often you have to go to the library or to a place where there's free Wi-Fi, like a restaurant or store or whatever like that. And the teachers weren't prepared for this. So my daughter, who is, she's pre-college, and she's a vocational technical student, so she's got classes that she has to have to go to college, and she's an electrical engineering student for technical school, so she has to have those things combined. Well, what happened was they weren't prepared for it. She ended up an AB student failing for the last 6 weeks of courses because of how ineffectively it was dealt with. And right now they're talking about taking students half-time, doing every other day. The governor's just done a new people regulation where you can't have more than 25 people. You got to mask people over 2 years old when they're outside. It's completely insane. And it's not beneficial. And you've got a kid like mine who has asthma and ADD. She needs to be hands-on. And this is going to affect her whole future. She wants to go to college. She's going to be a junior.
Yeah.
And they don't have anything worked out yet. And they're doing Zoom meetings right now with parents. Well, what do you think we should do? Should we do every other day? Should we do? Well, you should have had this figured out over the summer. And then the governor's changing it every couple of days.
So, April, what I want you to do, because we talked about, again, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, so you've got federal law on your side as well. I'm sure state law as well. ACLJ.org/help. Put that information in on that contact form and that you talk to us on the radio today. So, April, take that action right now. Let's go to Tara in California, line two. Tara, quickly, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to call and say, first of all, I'm not very proud to be part of the CTA or the NEA. However, I think that our school district is one of the exceptions to the rule. Ever since this whole COVID thing went down, we have been so hard at work. Our SELPA has instilled in us that we need to do the best that we can to meet every one of those goals that special education kids have. I happen to be a resource teacher, so I'm in special education.
Yep.
We've done Zoom meetings, personal phone calls to check in on families and provide support. We've been making sure that the kids have the technology, and if they don't have the technology, we're there for phone calls and support. We've been doing mental health checks, Google Classroom, like the whole bit. And so I'm so proud of my school district for really just doing what we're supposed to be doing.
You know what, Tara? And you know what I want? And I want to remind people, and I appreciate everything that you're doing. I wish there were more school districts like yours. And I know there are, and then we're not hearing about them as much because those people are not contacting us that are working hard. But you should have even more flexibility. You know, there's $23 billion available for the special needs programs that you're working on to states across the country. But there's a lot of restrictions on those federal dollars. There's something called the A-Plus Act, which would lift those restrictions and allow states and localities to have much more flexibility to use it. So our government affairs team is working on that as well. But Tara, I appreciate that and your acknowledgement that you're not so proud of being part of that teachers union right now, which is absurd at the national level. Now, two things. One, sign the petition for school choice at ACLJ.org, because this issue, it directly ties into it. So we need your grassroots support at ACLJ.org. Two, if you need help, ACLJ.org/help. That's ACLJ.org/help. And remember, we do all this for free because of your donations. Donate today online at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.